If you have your Bible with you this morning, if you can take it and turn to Mark chapter 3, we'll be looking at verse 14 here in just a moment. Time. Time's something that we all care about. We want to know what time it is. We look at our watches, we check our phones. We want to know how much time something will take, and so we take that evaluation before we do something to see how much time it will take. As an example, when you're putting a ceiling fan in your dining room, you decide that you look and say, okay, this should take about an hour to an hour and a half, and so you decide to do it, not knowing that they're lying and it actually takes about 3 hours to do that. I won't tell you how I know that last night, my whole afternoon. But time. Time is something that's so important that whenever we don't want to do something, we use it as an excuse. I don't have the time to do that. When it comes to engaging and training people to do ministry, time is so important. It's the most valuable thing that we can offer. So I look at the idea of training people for ministry maybe a little differently, because I don't think it's so much about developing programs or taking people through inventories or tests always to find out exactly what ministries people can do. Now, those things play a part and they're important, but really it's an investment in time. It's an intentional investment of our time into the time of somebody else. And when we do that, this benefits them, it benefits us, and ultimately it'll benefit our entire church. Mentoring and coaching are words that are used often to describe what we're talking about. Mentoring is when we invest ourselves into the life of someone else. And if we're really going to be a church that trains leaders and a church that wants to help people do ministry, then we have to be a church that's willing to invest ourselves. I'm thankful for the so many mentors in my life. Most of the time, as I was being mentored, I had no idea that was actually happening. I didn't know I was being mentored. I just had some guys in my life that cared about me and spent time with me. And as we just did life together, I looked back years later and I saw that they were really intentionally investing in me, even when I had no idea. I just appreciated that there were people that cared. And as we look at this passage today, one simple verse, I don't normally preach from one verse, but one simple verse, we see a great example of Jesus investing himself into the lives of others. Read with me Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. Can we read that one more time since it's just one verse? And he appointed 12 so that they could be with him and that he could send them out to preach. We see the importance here of investing in people. It says that Jesus appointed the 12. He chose 12 people that he was going to spend most of his time with. He saw something in them, and he found them worthy of his time. Now, there were probably hundreds of people who followed Jesus at some point during his ministry. There are men and women who were alongside, and they came, and they heard Jesus teach, and they were close to Jesus. And of all these people, Jesus chose 12. We can learn something from this. Why is that important? Well, he saw them and he said there was something in their life, their skills that they could use, and he wanted to develop their skills and he wanted to invest in them to see them grow and to see them succeed. He chose 12 because it was a number that he could truly invest in and he could spend time with and make them personal. He understood that if he spent time with these 12 and as they developed their skills, he understood that they would buy into his ministry and they would understand what he was doing and understand his purpose. And as they bought into his ministry, he knew that they would be able to fulfill the things that he would have them to do. And we notice in organizations, those that have buy-in, those that are involved, those are the ones that usually are loyal and stick to an organization. We see this so many times in my college ministry. I think of a young couple named Shane and Becky who were spent 4 years in our college ministry, and they loved the idea of student ministry. And as they bought into it and as they got involved in leadership, as they were planning their future, they came to me and they said, Ed, we want to do college ministry. How do we do with the rest of our life what you're doing? And so we talked about that, and then they spent a semester just kind of doing ministry underneath my ministry and then got married and moved to Sheridan. And for several years, they've been doing college ministry in Sheridan and doing a tremendous job doing ministry there. We see this on our summit staff. We do a youth camp every summer, and we see students who come to our camp, and they love camp. And as they're in camp and they're invested in camp, and they look up to our staff and they see those leaders, and then as they graduate high school, they say, I want to be a leader. I want to be involved in summit staff. And they turn and return and invest themselves into the lives of students, and we see the importance of that. And in our church, we'll see the best leaders of our church, the best ministers of our church are the ones that have bought into what we're doing, and they've been invested in our church. And they say, this church has been important to my life, and this church has poured themselves out to me. I want to be involved, and I want to do the things that people have, for other people that they have done for me. See, the future of the organization is dependent on those that are involved. And their spiritual development relates to the time that somebody else puts into their life. And do we see this in the life of Jesus? As we read the Gospels, we see that he spent time helping his disciples, developing their skills. He taught them. He corrected them. He let them ask questions. He let them fail. As they spent time with Jesus, they caught Jesus' mission and they caught his vision. And they gave themselves to the cause that Jesus had. And God used these men to start the church. These men were his chosen instruments, and they grew as they spent time with Jesus. Investing in people is not something that is easy, but it's something we have to do personally. Jesus did this personally. And honestly, it's easier if you just do things yourself. Sometimes it's so much easier to do something yourself than invest in somebody else and teach them how to do it. Every summer we have interns in our church. And it's a joke in our church, and especially among our teenagers, that when we have interns, that Ed doesn't work for the entire summer, and the students just do everything. And I kick back in my office, and the summer goes. And that's not always the case. And they do a lot of work, and I do greatly appreciate them. But sometimes these students will teach a lesson for me, and they do a fantastic job. And sometimes they'll teach, and I'll be shaking my head saying, what the heck are you talking about? And so then we have to go through and talk about it and train and do those things. You invest in them. Investing with others can cause more work. Investing in others can cause stress. Sometimes investing in other people can cause you some heartache. About a year ago, my oldest daughter Elizabeth and I were having a conversation, and we were just talking about life and letting people get close to you. And she was telling me that she really feared getting hurt and letting people really involved in her life. And we were talking about that as a ministry aspect. And I asked her the question. I said, Elizabeth, you've watched your mom and I do ministry for a lot of years. I said, how many students have you seen hurt us? How many students, how many people have you seen turn on us? How many times have you seen us cry over students? She says, Dad, I've seen that a lot. And I said, okay. I said, how many students have you seen that are doing ministry? How many students have come through our ministry and are serving the Lord? How many of these students call us mom and dad? How many times have these students come through town and they bring us their kids and stop by and visit with us? And she said, Dad, that happens a lot more. And I said, but you can't have one without the other. If you're not willing to get hurt, if you're not willing to invest, if you're not willing to put yourself out, then you'll never have the opportunity to gain the rewards of seeing the success as you see people grow and thrive and be who God has called them to be. Sometimes we invest a lot, and people leave. Have we seen that in our church? We invest in somebody, we watch them grow, and then they just get to a point, and they go someplace else. We have to be willing to say, you know what, that's okay. Maybe they leave for good reasons. Maybe we're sending out as missionaries someplace else. Maybe they leave for not good reasons. But that doesn't matter, because what matters is we're looking at the kingdom and what God is doing, and not necessarily about what we get out of it. See, if we're not willing to personally invest in people, we're not going to grow and train people for ministry. And then we'll never multiply the ministries that we're doing. And a church that doesn't multiply its ministries, a church doesn't continue to do ministry, a church doesn't continue to grow, is a church that eventually dies. It's a church that eventually struggles, and it comes to a point where it's not really accomplishing anything. And so we invest in people. And one of the ways we do that is we invite people into our ministries. The next part of this verse says, so that they could be with him. See, Jesus had this plan on how he was going to train these men for ministry, and he invited them in his life, and he let these men just be with him. And while they were together, while they were doing things, he taught them. Both in groups, individually, he spent time teaching them. Sometimes training does happen in places like classes and seminars and those kind of things, and there are places for that, but most of the training happens when you're just spending time doing things together. And this can happen and be done by any Christian. Any person sitting in this worship service here today, if you're a believer in Christ, you can have this kind of investment in somebody else as you train people and as you just spend time with them in ministry. Those who are mature in ministry, those that are mature Christians here, find someone to bring alongside you. Bring somebody alongside you as you do ministry. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, who in your class is the person that you're teaching how to teach and you're spending time with and learning how to do what you're doing? Leaders, who are we investing in? Deacons, who are we teaching how to serve? Youth workers, children's workers, who are you training to do your ministry? Who are you inviting alongside and say, just come with me as I do this stuff? Those of you that have a desire to serve, maybe you say, I'm not in these ministry positions, but what those of you that have a desire to serve, what are you doing? How are you connecting with somebody who can invest in you? Are you willing to learn? Are you being teachable? You see, this happens on both sides. So often I'll have people come to me and they'll say, I have no idea what to do and I really want to be involved. And I said, well, I can't know you want to be involved if you don't tell me you want to be involved. I can't read people's minds. And leaders, we have to intentionally seek out people that we can train in ministry. And those that want to do ministry have to intentionally seek out opportunities to do ministry. And it has to be intentional on both sides. And then as we're doing this ministry together, we allow people to observe and to ask questions. And ministry can happen in so many places. It can be happen while we're working on a car. It can be happen while we're playing 18 holes of golf. It can happen over a cup of coffee. It can happen over lunch. Anything that we have passion about can be used for ministry, but we have to be intentional about finding time to spend with people to do this. And I'm so thankful for the people in my life that did that for me. And I can think of so many who invested in my life. I think of my college minister. I think of Roger. And Roger, he just invited me into his life and did life with me. Roger and I would go jogging, or we would spend time playing basketball, and we would just spend time just sitting and talking. And I'm so thankful for men like that. I'm thankful for a man by the name of Don. And Don was a pastor of another church in town. And he realized my call to ministry, and he said to me, Ed, any Sunday night that you want to come preach at my church, you're welcome to come preach. You just have to come Monday and we evaluate. And Don taught me so much about sermon preparation and delivery and how to develop those things, and I'm thankful for him. And the first church that I was in as a staff member, a paid staff member, and by paid I mean I made $75 a month, but as my first paid position, we had an interim pastor by the name of Carmen. And Carmen was a hospital chaplain, and so on Sunday afternoons, Carmen would say, Ed, you're going with me today to go to the hospital to visit. He didn't ask me, he just told me that's what we're doing today. And so I'd go with Carmen, and he taught me how to make hospital visits and how to handle people when they're going through sickness and sometimes very difficult situations, and he'd walk through that with me. I think about guys like my college pastor at the church I was at, Albert, who taught me about the inner workings of a church and let me be a part of decision-making and leadership teams. I think about guys that, a name you may have heard of, and I'm not just saying this because he's here this morning, it's actually in my notes, but I'm thankful for guys like Quinn, who spent 20-plus years investing in my life and investing in my ministry and teaching me how to be a pastor and how to love the people of the church. I'm thankful for people like Fred Creason, who saw the value of education and invested in my education. Every one of these men that I mentioned, these things just didn't happen. These were guys that really, truly saw something and invested intentionally. And that's what we have to do if we're going to train leaders and we're going to train people for ministries. You see, if we're expecting the right programs to do it, then we're going to wait a really long time and we're not going to have much success. But if we're willing to offer ourselves, then we have the opportunity to see ministry and to see it multiplied. And Jesus showed them how it was going to look. He didn't just tell them. He just didn't say to his disciples, this is what you're supposed to do. But Jesus showed them. He says, hey, this is what you do. And he took them with him, and they watched him do it. And we can see the importance of this time as we do people and we spend time in ministry. Like, how many people, if I ask you the question, how many of you are afraid to share the gospel? And if you're honest, a lot of you would say, something that makes you nervous, verbally sharing your faith. And you see that a lot. And so we tell people you have to share your faith, but have we ever taken a time to teach somebody how? To have them come alongside you and sit down with you and say, okay, I'm going to share this plan of salvation with somebody. Come and see how it's done. And then the next time, say, hey, you do it. How about mission trips? And I love to do missions, and I love to go on mission trips. And one of the things I like about it is not just the going, but it's the spending time with the people that are going with me. And the time we can spend doing ministry together and having them see what ministry is like and having them invest in me and me in them. And one of the things we do in ministry is we have to be real. It's a great lesson that I learned early in ministry, but we need to let people see the good and the bad in ministry. See the good and bad in your personal life. You ever see somebody and think like their life is perfect and you can never be like them? It's because they don't ever let you see that their life isn't perfect. see people's ministry and you see their ministries as perfect and you say, well, ministry is not always perfect. And we do a great disservice. We don't let people see that sometimes it's hard and ministry is hard. Ministry is difficult. If you're going to do ministry, it's going to have difficult times. It's not always going to be easy, but it's always worth the investment. And so as we minister together, we walk through these times with people. And we let them see how we handle these situations. And we help them to see that there's value in what we're doing. We're not just wasting time or spending time, but there's true value. And we share a kingdom perspective. We don't share something that's about what we're doing, about something we care about, but we're sharing a kingdom perspective. Jesus taught his disciples a kingdom perspective. God was doing something much greater than them. And God is doing something much greater than us. And we can see God's perspective and a kingdom perspective. And we also see here that Jesus gave them the opportunity to serve. It says, and that he could send them out to preach. He empowered them. He gave them opportunities. He sent them out. But he started by sending them out with some guidance. He said, go do it this way. And then they came back and Jesus shook his head and says, I don't know why you did that because that's not exactly what I told you to do. And then he explains to them what they did wrong. And they spend this time talking back and forth together. And we see this opportunity. The disciples, when they started doing ministry, they had a safe place to fail because Jesus was walking with them. And as Jesus walked with them and as they made mistakes, Jesus was there. And we need to provide people with a safe place to fail. You know, our BCM, our college ministry, and our youth ministry, we have students who do leadership. And when we do that, they have opportunities where they can make mistakes. And if they fail, it doesn't end everything because they're just having opportunities. And we need to be like that in our church. You see, how do we expect to have good preachers if you never give anybody the opportunity to preach? How do we expect somebody to teach a good Sunday school lesson if we never give them opportunities to teach? How do we expect people to lead Bible studies if we never give them an opportunity to lead Bible studies? How do we do these things? This is true in any kind of ministry. We can let people have opportunities to do things. See, we come to a place sometimes in our churches where we expect like perfect sermons. We come in with a great sermon and we go to our Sunday school classes and we want a great Sunday school class and we want all this stuff and we get upset if it's not exactly what we want. But if we're really going to be a church that trains leaders and if we're going to be a church that trains people for ministries, we have to be willing to suffer through some things that aren't very good. And I remember my first sermon. And my first sermon was not good. I hope that I've gotten better since then. But I had that opportunity. We have to be willing to sit through some tough sermons and some tough Sunday school lessons and see through some things that aren't really good to give people the opportunity. But then here's what we do. We don't just leave it there. We offer feedback without rejection. We offer encouragement without rejection. We offer evaluation, and it's important as we train, we evaluate everything that we do. And we learn from those mistakes so we can move forward so that our second sermon isn't nearly as bad as our first. Our second time we do some community ministry thing is not nearly as bad as the first time that we did it. And we continue to grow and to get better. And we do this, why? Because we really care about each other and we love each other. And Jesus encouraged them to use their abilities. You know, Jesus used these men, and as you read through the New Testament and you see their stories, you can really see who these men were. You can see their personalities come through in their writings. We see their struggles. We see the mistakes they made. We see the successes because they're recorded here in scriptures. And these men were used because they were willing. See, I honestly believe that we are a church full of people that can do more than we think we can. Now, I'm not offering this as a guilt thing that says you're not doing enough. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there are times when we limit ourselves because we don't trust God. We limit ourselves because we don't see our own ability. We don't see the potential that we have. And these men, I don't think when Jesus called them and he said, hey, come follow me, I don't think that they thought, man, I can't wait to see how I'm going to be the leaders of the early church. They had no idea what their potential was. But they knew that they made a commitment to follow Jesus wherever that led. And I believe that in this church, God has people that are capable of so much more than what they can do. We have passions and we have abilities. And we can do things that will make our church stronger. And we need to allow people to be free to use their ministries, free to use their passions, and free to use their strengths in our church. Now, if we do this, then things might look differently. If we do this, it might not always be the church that we always thought it was. We might do things that are crazy. We might do things that are dumb. We might do things that we don't think are ever going to work. And in my college ministry, we do this a lot. And my students have this great idea, and I'll look at them and I'll think to myself, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. That is never going to work. And sometimes I'm right. And sometimes we do it, and it's really, really good. And we're still doing it for years and years and years, and I thought it was stupid. And I didn't think it was ever going to work. If we're going to be a church that really is going to grow, then we have to let people grow. This lesson is good for us. If we want to see a church expand, then we have to let our people expand. And we have to give freedom to do things, even when they're not things that we would like. And there are things that we do in our church that I don't like. And I'm sure there are things that we do that you don't like. They're not your favorite things. But we understand that it's not about us. It's about them. I have a saying that applies to my ministry about doing new things, and it's this. If it's not illegal, immoral, or cost too much, let's do it. If it's not illegal, immoral, or cost too much, let's give it a chance. And so when people have ideas, let's try those new ideas and let's let people flourish in ministry. So what does this look like for us as Boyd Avenue? There are some things that are important for us to consider as we train people for ministry and as we give people the opportunity to serve. The first one is we need to stay positive. Even when there's times of struggle, even if things aren't going well, even when we're having discussions of negative situations, we need to stay positive. We need to challenge the way that we think. We can't keep doing the same things the same way year after year. We live in a world that is changing. Our message never changes. Our message of salvation never changes. The gospel never changes, but we have to find new ways to engage people. Let's challenge the way that we think, and let's discover new answers together. Let's keep an open communication, both individually and collectively. Let's discuss strengths and weaknesses and areas in our church that we can grow and ways that we can serve and things that we can improve on. And let's invest together in a bigger picture. And let's understand this. It's about others. Those we train for ministry, those who are doing ministry, those that we are ministering to, it's about the current and future ministry of our church, of Boyd Avenue, and it's about the current and future ministry of every individual of our church. And we need to be able to take the focus off of who we are and put the focus on other people. So what is our role? Who can we invest in? Who is it that's investing in us? Are we willing to step out and take a chance to invest in someone, a chance to do ministry, a chance to let somebody else speak into your life? See, we are the people that God has placed here in our church to carry out his ministry. God has placed us here. There isn't going to be somebody else riding in to do what God's called us to do. It's ours to do. We're responsible for the ministry. And there are people right here in our church that are so capable of doing ministry. So let's do this together. Let's provide ministry together. Let's train people to do ministry. And let's serve him together. Are we, each one of us, willing to fulfill the purpose that God has for us? Let me offer you just a challenge here this morning. What is God saying to you? If you're here this morning and you're involved in ministry, who are you bringing alongside you? Who's going to take your ministry when you leave? Who is it that you're investing in? If you're here this morning and you really want to be involved more and in different ways, then take that step and say, what do I need to do? How can I be involved? And then take that steps to follow through. Maybe God's dealing with something else in your life all the way around. Respond to God this morning.
Thank you for your time. Cause I don't know where I'd be if you'd not discipled. My Paul, and I was your Timothy. You said these things command. be thou an example in your life and in your speech. Oh, time. Thank you for your time. 'Cause I don't know where I'd be if you'd not disciple. You told me to be a good soldier of the cross. Neglect not your gift and be ready to suffer loss. Oh, time. Thank you for your time. 'Cause I don't know where I'd be if you're not disciple. Said, fight the good fight, preach the word, and finish the course until every soul has heard. Oh, for I know my happy lead, and I am persuaded that he is that which I've committed unto him. What I have committed unto him. That which I've committed unto him. Against that day, so I say, time. Thank you for your time. 'Cause I don't know where I'd be if you had not discipled me. If you had not discipled me. If you'd not discipled me. You were my Paul, and I was your Tim.